Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. Happy, merry, jolly, wondrous, amazing Christmas Eve to you all, as this is going live.
Yes.
We are spending this Christmas Eve, for those curious, writing, editing, uploading, and publishing this episode, because we didn't get a chance to do it yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday we kind of took off.
Yeah, and it went a little sideways in the taking off side of things. Mm-hmm. But so, yes, we are literally doing absolutely everything with this episode today, pretty much in real time.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a little bit crazy, but, you know, it's the holidays. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
But on that note, just in case you didn't pick it up from the intro, this is Haunt Weekly. We're at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is the YouTube channel. And iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher are just some of the fine places you can find our podcasts. And it's an interesting one, because even though it is indeed Christmas Eve,
yes,
it is also episode 160, mm-hmm. an episode divisible by four. And that means it's time to do
the news.
Which I think this is literally the first and perhaps the only time we've ever done everything on a news episode in one day.
Yeah.
The news show notes take significantly longer to do than other notes we do.
Right, they do.
And when we get interviews, those are the easiest. We just pull together a few questions and have a generic direction for the conversation and let it go.
Yeah.
You know, the news requires a significant more amount of research, so yeah, it's been a very, very busy day so far. Mm-hmm. But first, as usual, we have conference reminders. It is an even episode, that means I kick off. So, first off, January 25th through the 27th, right here in New Orleans, Louisiana, it's HauntCon, co-located with the Halloween and Party Expo at the Ernest Memorial Convention Center. We will be there!
Yes.
We've still got to buy Crystal's ticket. I just remember that.
Yes, we do.
My ticket's already done because I'm speaking. I'm giving my copyright and trademark talk again. I will be at the 9:30 slot on Friday. So if you happen to be one of like the half a dozen early birds, these things, love to see you at the talk. If not, we will definitely see you around. Learn more at HauntCon.com.
Okay. February 23rd and the 24th, it's HauntX, The Haunters DIY Expo in Pomona, California at the Fairplex. They will be touring Coffin Creek, lights on and off, and features a costume ball, HauntX.com.
All right. After that, in Dallas, Texas, and Oklahoma City, February 27th through March 2nd, it's the Maize, M-A-I-Z-E, Corn Party. It starts at the Westin Dallas-Fort Worth Airport Hotel, but don't worry, that's not where the conference is. The conference is touring things. You're going to be touring various corn mazes located around Dallas and Oklahoma City, including Esterland Farms, Mainstay Farm, and more. The Maize, themaize.com for more.
Okay, and then March 21st through the 24th, it's Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show, co-located with the Christmas Show. It's in St. Louis, Missouri at the America Center. No information on the bus tour yet. It features a party at City Museum on Thursday, performance by a vampire circus on Friday, and a vampire ball on Saturday. HaShow.com for more info.
All right. So a lot of conferences, a lot of big conferences coming. Hope to see some of you at HauntCon. I know a lot of people are threatening.
A few people have reached out and said they're going to be here. So
yeah, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do still. We've been talking about it, but
yeah. Because basically we've got to get with our crew. Because if anybody's interested in coming over, and even for a lights on tour, I think we've got 7 seats that we can get in our vehicles.
Yeah. We've got about 7 people we can take across the river from where the actual conference is.
Right.
So we can work something out. It can be a small little intimate get-together type thing. And that's kind of the way I'd like it, honestly.
Yes. So if you want to be one of those 7, if we do that,
yeah,
write us.
Yeah, let us know. And let us know what dates work for you.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to be here a day early or staying a day late or whatever.
Yeah. Or planning to naff off on something that the conference is doing.
Hey, not that we are encouraging you to naff off on the conference.
No, but it is New Orleans, and I know a lot of people do.
Yes, and that is very true. That's why I'm not too optimistic about attendance at my 9:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Call. Just saying. Mm-hmm. But anyways, as we said earlier, happy Christmas Eve to all those of you celebrating. To those of you not celebrating, happy Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you're enjoying the time off.
If you have it.
You very likely do, at the least.
Yeah, I don't know. We know a lot of people who are working today.
You know, and there's the old thing about, like, every haunter has a quote-unquote real job.
Yeah.
And, like, Brian Foreman's a mailman.
Yeah.
And mail's running today.
Yeah.
So he's probably working.
Yeah.
Brian, thank you for your service in delivering all the Christmas packages today.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're the real hero of Christmas.
Yes, and if
screw
anyone...
Screw that fat guy in the sleigh we dished on last week.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we know we're not his fans. Santa's, you know.
Oh, God. Brian, we're not your fans anymore. You heard? The way Crystal structured it, there was no other way that could have been interpreted.
I'm pretty sure that there's plenty of other ways. Like the correct one.
All right.
But anyway, if you're traveling this holiday season, be mindful. Hope that you are there safe and hope that you make it back home safe.
Yes. And I hope it all goes well.
Yes.
As for me, I know last time we mentioned my surgery and recovery. I'm doing better. I'm still occasionally dizzy and woozy, but it's getting less by the day. It's just a thing that's going to take time.
Right.
I got a follow-up appointment coming on Boxing Day, the 26th. So that'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a thing. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I am feeling better and better. It's just a process, and it's going to take some time. But still, anyways, it is time to do the news. And honestly, I got to say, I'm a little surprised just how busy it was.
Yeah, it was fairly easy for you to find all these
stories. Now, one thing we will not be covering is Haunted just opened for Christmas. There were a slew of those. Believe me when I say the news feed was filled with haunted attractions opening for Christmas. We did a whole episode about that, 158.
Mm-hmm.
However, there were a few haunts that did something a little bit different, a little bit unusual, and we're going to discuss those. But yeah, I mean... And we're going to have some fun holiday-related stories, too, especially toward the end. So,
yeah. This
isn't going to be Christmas-free, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But we can't cover literally every single haunt that opened, you know, for a Krampus thing, because I think the whole podcast would just be us listing haunts and cities.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, our first story this week is actually a continuation of a story we covered in episode 156, lawsuit filed against Nightmare on Old 6 and 50. Now, if you remember this from 156, this was a haunt where, long story short, there were some labor issues.
Yeah.
To put it quite gingerly. Basically, there were people complaining that the work conditions were unsafe for the actors, that there was slippery stuff on floors, there were sharp edges and nails, stuff like that. And then there were issues with all the actors getting paid.
Right.
Well, we sit here a month later, and apparently there's still issues, especially with the latter part of that, as Ron Rubalcaba? Rubalcaba?
Yes.
Sounds like Fruity Pebbles.
I was thinking Chupacabra, but you know.
You know. But anyways, he has sued the haunt's owner for failing to pay his grandson his worker, and his grandson a minor. Can't sue for himself. He's obviously the guardian.
Mm-hmm.
He's filing suit. He's suing for $275.
Right.
Not a significant amount. Almost certainly this is a small claims case. Plus an extra $500 to cover his court costs and time away and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
This is ultimately a small business labor dispute more than it is a haunted attraction related thing.
Right.
The unsafe working conditions were initially the more unique element to our industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because they talked about how he, so allegedly there was like fake blood on the floor that was really, really slick.
Mm-hmm.
And actors and customers alike were slipping and sliding in it.
Yeah.
Like that's a great way to break an ankle or a head, depending upon how you land.
Yeah, it's just not a good idea.
No. So, but that element seems to have died down, and now we're down to the payment, to which the haunt's owner, Billy Lampshire, says that, quote unquote, he thinks 90% of his workers have been paid. It's been two fucking months, guys.
Yeah, there are programs to help you track that shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and they're free ones, too. You don't even have to, like, spend a lot of
money. Exactly.
Like, I have, I use And.co, And.co for my invoicing. I'm a small business myself. I use that for tracking invoices. This podcast brought to you by And.co.
No.
No. They're not paying me anything. Money. That's a funny idea. Yeah. But no, they do payroll and it's a free service.
Right.
I know, like, 17 Hats, there's a bunch of really low cost, really easy services to handle this type of stuff. 90% of the workers haven't been paid. Do me a favor and don't open another haunt.
Yeah.
Or if you do, get some good help on both this and the safety issue.
Yeah, no kidding.
I
learn some lessons.
At the very least, learn your lessons. Because this... Yeah, well, we typically hear these stories about workers not getting paid locally from restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Restaurants that have been there, sometimes in some cases, for a really long goddamn time, like the Irish House.
Right.
There for as long as we've been in the city.
Yeah.
Some.
Yeah, it has.
Just like up and poofs.
Yeah, which was weird because they were always busy and it seemed like they were making their money.
It seemed like they were doing well. We had a WordPress meetup there once.
Yes, that was a terrible idea.
That was a terrible idea because of the noise, but it was very busy.
Yes.
You know, I never saw it hopelessly dead and they were selling, you know, pretty high margin stuff, it seemed like. But yeah, they went poof. And then we start hearing about all the wait staff and the cooks and the busboys and all that stuff not getting paid.
Yeah.
And it's like, the hell?
No.
You can't even tie it up with a bow. But so yeah, this is a small business thing. But yeah, it just happens to reflect directly upon the haunt industry because it's a haunted house.
Right.
And that's one thing. We don't usually hear about haunts not paying their actors. You know, in terms of like, we promised you pay, but we didn't pay.
Yeah.
That's not a common story in the haunt industry as far as we've seen.
No, this is the first one I remember reporting on. Now, I may be wrong on that.
Yeah.
But
so well, maybe the first time it made the news, it may be super common. It just may not make the news.
No, it's possible.
Because... You know, here in New Orleans, the stories make the news because we are a service industry / tourist town.
Right.
So, yeah, those stories, that industry has amazing pull with the news media.
Yeah.
And can get those stories out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thought. Still, seriously, pay your goddamn workers.
Yeah, don't be a douche.
Seriously. All right. We'll move on to something else. Disneyland Paris has released an interview with an Imagineer. We're starting our theme park segment of the show here, I think, with an Imagineer of Phantom Manor's refurbishment. Now, Phantom Manor is the dark ride in Disneyland Paris.
Mm-hmm.
It's the equivalent like-ish thing of the Haunted Mansion.
Right.
Now, it's closed currently, pending refurbishment, and it's going to stay closed until sometime in spring 2019. So if you're planning your trip to Disneyland Paris, shoot for summer. Plan for overruns.
Yeah.
Just saying. In the meantime, though, Disney has released an interview with an Imagineer working on the ride. And what I loved about it is this guy apparently, like I said, he lives in Europe. He's a Parisian. But he loved the Haunted Mansion so much that when he was a kid, he and his family flew out the year it opened to see it.
Right.
That is some fucking dedication right there. I'm going to be honest with you.
It is. And also, from the article... He used to have small haunted houses set up in his parents' basement.
Yeah, a little walkthrough. And that's not something that, I mean, that you do a lot.
No.
That's not something, I mean, and to be honest, it doesn't clearly say he's from France. He might actually be from the United States.
Right.
But even then, the fly to see a specific attraction at Disney.
Yeah.
That's some dedication. And then
it
also
is.
To host the haunted houses in your basement. That's mad respect there.
Yes. He likes scaring his friends.
Mm-hmm, he does. And then you know what? That makes me excited about this attraction.
Yes.
They said that they are updating the attraction with ideas and themes and elements from the domestic ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's pretty much a completely separate thing. Apparently, they're bringing some of the stuff that really worked well in the U.S. Haunted Mansions. There's one in Orlando and there's one in Disneyland, California. They're bringing some of that stuff over there, but they're also bringing new technology and tools that they developed in the years since.
Which, you know, is a good idea.
Yeah, so...
There's been a lot of developments in recent years.
Yeah, and I think that's the best way to handle it. They're going to look at this refurbishment as a chance to not only, you know, introduce what still works and what is still great about the other attractions, but to bring in some new blood.
Yeah.
That's how you do. That's how you grow in haunting.
Right.
So I'm excited about it. It should be a lot of fun come springs, basically what it comes down to. You know, I had not heard about Phantom Manor closing. I almost called it Phantom Mansion. Phantom Manor closing, but I gotta say, I haven't even really heard much about Phantom Manor, period, honestly, because it's Disneyland Paris.
Right.
You know, it's not something we hear a lot about, but I am really excited about it now, and if I ever am in that neck of Europe, I would love to go see it.
Yes.
That is unlikely anytime in the near future, if we're going to be honest with you.
Right.
All right. Next up in the theme park stores this week, Universal is going to be starting Halloween Horror Nights even earlier in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is an article from the Orlando Sentinel, but it's been going around on a whole bunch of different blogs. Basically, Universal Studios indicated, or it's debatable whether it was they released it or it was leaked.
Right.
It's one of those things, like no one's really 100% sure what happened here. But they've released the dates for next year's Halloween Horror Nights have gotten out. And we're in 2018, they started on September 14th, which is already pretty early as far as haunted attractions go.
It is.
They will be opening them on September 6th in 2019. Basically now the entire month of September is covered.
Right. Which is pretty cool because that gives...
That's every weekend in September.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
That makes it even more likely that one year we'll be able to get there.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, because one of the reasons we can't go is because, A, time and money, but also time away from our haunt and what we're working on at critical junctures.
Yeah, those are our busiest weeks, yeah. Are the end of August through the beginning of September.
Yeah, we typically try to do as much as we can through through spring and summer.
Mm-hmm.
We work as much as we can, but
right.
The heat is unbearable.
Yes, it gets very hot in the garage.
The heat starts to break late August here in New Orleans, and we're able to get out there in early September.
Yeah.
And really start putting, you know, things together. But still, they did not announce the themes and haunts they're going to do, obviously. If you've listened to this podcast long enough, you know that there's almost certainly going to be the trickle of those for the next, you know, I'd say 6 months or so.
Right.
They're going to announce them one at a time, usually about one a month, for the next, you know, probably 7 months or so.
Yeah.
So I would expect that to start probably next month, honestly. January, February is usually when it starts.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the crazy thing I learned from this article, is that it will not actually be the earliest Halloween attraction in Orlando at a theme park.
Oh.
Disney's Not-So-Scary Halloween begins, I don't really know how it works, I've never actually given two craps about it. because, I mean, I'm sorry, the Not-So-Scary Halloween sound, literally none of those words except Halloween sound good to me.
Yeah.
Because it's hyphenated, it's not so, anyway. But that is on August 17th. That's 4 days after my birthday.
Yes.
It's end of summer still.
It is. It's when families are still traveling there, and maybe they just wanted to bring some Halloween.
What's next? Are they going to do Christmas in like August 24th?
They'll just become Holiday World, and then it'd be awesome.
Holiday World. This podcast is brought to you by Holiday World.
No.
We really should get some sponsors for this.
We should.
We're going to pimp out everything we love. Maybe they could like throw us a few bucks. Chip in for the new microphones we're buying, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, really? August? It just seems, that's a huge gap there. And to me, that's a huge leap. It's over a month, it's almost a month from when Halloween Horror Nights was beginning. But still, I think this is a great thing for Halloween Horror Nights in general, because it's still definitely in the autumn season. It never gets cool in Orlando. I mean, Orlando stays roughly the same temperature year-round, having spent some time there. I'll testify to that one. So, you know, you don't have to worry about the chilled autumn air not being there.
Yeah.
You weren't really going to get much of that anyway. But the thing about it is, Halloween Horror Nights in that area is obviously the big draw. It's what brings the tourists in. It's what brings, you know what I mean? It's what gets most of the attention. But there are a lot of other great haunts in the area.
Right. And they probably aren't going to be open early enough.
And what this means is there's time, there'll be more weeks where people can go to Halloween Horror Nights, get that out of the way, and then go to other haunts later in season.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to work out that way.
I hope it does.
Well, I hope it does, but I think that it's going to put pressure on haunts in the area to open earlier and earlier, because you want those tourists who are going to Halloween Horror Nights to also check out your place.
It's possible.
Because if we were to go, we would be checking out everything in the area. We wouldn't be just checking out Halloween Horror Nights.
We'd be trying to, at least.
Yes.
Well, Halloween Horror Nights is a pretty all-encompassing thing. It's like an all-weekend thing. You know, if you're going to go to Halloween Horror Nights, you're spending several nights there. You're not doing just one night.
Right.
And I have a feeling, I would suspect the other haunts in the area are like haunts elsewhere, and that they're mostly driven by the local populace.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And so if the local populace has an option of going to Halloween Horror Nights when other haunts aren't open, this frees up weekends later that they can go.
Yeah.
But you're right. It does also raise the question, how do you chase the tourist dollar? And that's where you've got to do a balancing act.
Yeah.
Because there is a cost in opening your haunt. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to deal with the actors. You got to deal with the permitting and all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't have an easy answer to that. My hope is that it works out well and it just strengthens the Orlando haunt community broadly. I think it has that potential, at least.
Yeah.
I'll be very curious to hear how it goes. Mm-hmm. But they've been inching it back fairly consistently. It used to be just October.
Yeah.
As I recall. And they've been inching it back almost ever since. Mm-hmm. Adding another week here, week here, week there. And now literally every weekend in September is covered.
Right.
Which, you know, the earliest haunt in New Orleans to open is usually the mortuary.
Yes.
And they usually open for 2 weekends in September.
Mm-hmm. And we usually go
on the opening weekend.
Yes.
Because that's the only chance because we got to fit it into our schedule. Anyway, so just a thought there. And if we went to Halloween Horror Nights, it'd probably be on that opening weekend too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway. So, lots of interesting stuff there. All right, next up, Slipknot has shared footage from their October haunted attraction. Now, if you'll recall, we talked about it a while back. I think it was 152. I have to double check that. They teamed up with Slaughterhouse in Des Moines, Iowa, to create a Slipknot-themed haunted attraction. And that was really all that we heard about it.
Yes, that was it.
That was literally the entire news story that we somehow stretched out to 2.5-3 minutes so we could fill some time.
Exactly.
Which is what we do every news podcast. But the long and short of it is, we didn't hear anything else about it. And now suddenly in December, they drop a promo video for it.
Yeah. I guess they're planning on doing it again?
I guess.
But it looked like a haunted house.
Yeah, it looked like a good haunted house. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, like, trashing it.
No.
But it looked like a haunted house.
Yeah.
It didn't seem... other than the music, which was decidedly Slipknot.
Right. And there were a few masks from the...
Yeah.
The band.
But it was blink and you miss it stuff. Well, it doesn't help the video. It was under 2 minutes long.
Right.
And it was edited like a haunt promo video.
It was.
That's to say, super quick cuts and...
Yes.
Hold on to nothing for longer than 2 seconds and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting video, and this got so much attention in the media right now. Like, every outlet's been reporting on this, mm-hmm. and I'm not fully sure I understand why.
Yeah.
But anyways, it was it's a video. You can go see it. It looks like a haunted house. Looks like a good haunted house. It just doesn't look... It doesn't... Not that... I don't know enough about Slipknot to know what screams Slipknot. I'm just realizing.
Their masks are the most prominent thing.
I did like the photo op they showed where you could get your photo taken with, I think, the dummies from... Were they the actual members or were they mannequins? It was too quick of a cut. I think it was mannequins.
Probably. I can't imagine that they'd have
it's one of the problems with these really, really quick cut videos. Like, hey, was that a... You know, and by the time you're realizing what you're looking at...
Yeah.
It's too late. But still, it's worth checking out if you're curious, and it's a rare haunted attraction promo video in December. I have no idea why they released it now. I mean, I'm guessing it was in support of the new album, which is coming out.
Yeah.
But does that support the album? Wouldn't you release a music video for the actual song?
Maybe they're using clips from the haunted house in the videos.
But they didn't indicate it was a music video.
No, but they could still pull clips from it later. Could. I mean, if you know that you're being recorded when you go in, then they could use those clips of you being scared in their haunted house in their music videos.
Now, you have to be very careful putting people in promotional materials.
Yes, you do.
You have to be extremely cautious with the rights on that, because the right of publicity there is a bitch.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, so definitely worth a checking it out if you are curious. Other than that, I don't really have much to provide you. All right, this one blew my mind. It's not technically a haunted attraction story, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
This is from the Sentinel Tribune. In Rudolph, Ohio, the old Liberty School will no longer be used as an apartment building. Everyone was told to leave by Saturday the 8th. Merry Christmas, all you.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the fuck out.
Exactly. It's like showing up last year to our hotel and getting an eviction notice from the hotel.
Yeah. Saying we had to be out of the room. Admittedly, it was like a week after our actual day of departure. It was because they were, I'm not actually making this up, they were in the process of turning the hotel we were staying in into a retirement community.
Yes. So then they had to get all of the
hotel guests
out.
Even though we had already said we were leaving and had a checkout date and everything, they just still felt the need to let us know that we were evicted.
Yeah, we couldn't extend our stay.
Yeah, no one wanted to extend their stay there.
No.
But anyways... Now, the reason for the abrupt eviction is because county inspectors found too many health/fire code violations in the building, including bad wiring, leaks in the roof, mold. It reads like a shit list of stuff that goes wrong in an apartment building. But here's the reason we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Was a side note that was in the article. It was previously, before it became an apartment building a couple of years ago, it was Westwood School of Scare. It was a haunted attraction. And it was closed. Wait for it. Drama build. Pregnant pause. For fire code violations.
Yeah. So what's the best way, you know, when you get shut down for safety issues... Let's move people in here. Let's let them live in this death trap.
It didn't pass fire code muster to be an attraction, haunted attraction, which people would merely be walking through.
No.
So they turned it into a place people will be sleeping in.
Yes. Living in, bringing their kids, having family stuff.
Yeah. Basically, the owner was told he had to make all the props fire retardant.
Right.
Okay, that's a pretty typical request.
Yeah.
There's ways of dealing with that that aren't overly onerous.
Right.
It costs money, don't get me wrong, but it's not the biggest challenge in the world either. It's not like you have to completely replace the sprinkler system or make huge structural changes to the building with it.
Right.
Most props can be coated in a spray, you're bingo, bango, bongo, you're done.
Yep.
That was too much. Close it down. Close the bitch down. We're done.
Yeah.
Close it down and then turn it into apartments.
Yeah.
And then was told they had to replace the wiring and the other stuff and fix the roof and get rid of the mold and all that. And that was too much, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they don't know what it's going to be used for. The comments on this article, if you go there, I know never read the comments, but I couldn't help it this time.
Yeah.
Basically have unflattering descriptions of what this building looks like and what should be done with it.
Yeah.
Bulldozers might have come up a few times.
Yeah, I could see that.
But long and short of it is I'm blown away by this idea that a person who had their building shut down as a haunted attraction went apartment.
Yeah. That... Yeah, I don't even know how they got permits to let people live there.
No, there's a lot to unpack in this.
Yeah.
And why would it be too much trouble to fireproof your props and your other stuff, but not too much trouble to renovate the building for apartments?
I have no idea.
There's so many questions in this that we'll probably never know the answer to.
Yeah.
It's really mind-boggling that this actually happened the way it did. So, yeah, I am truly blown away by the story. I saw it, and it's like, I've got to talk about this, even if it's not 100% haunt attraction related, because it hasn't been a haunt in quite some time.
Right.
It still blows my mind. So, if you get your haunt shut down due to fire code issues, it sucks, it happens, I understand. Maybe don't turn it into apartments.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, bye. Moving right along, Netherworld. Now, I know we said we weren't going to talk about haunts. It just opened up for Christmas and whatnot. But I had to talk about this because of the way it was promoted and marketed.
Right.
Netherworld offered a one-night-only, quote-unquote, Yuletide-imbibed haunted house this month. Now, that's cool enough. We all know that they moved and they did their thing. They got the new location and all that. Mm-hmm. And it all seems to be going pretty, pretty well for them. But they called it a Yuletide-imbibed event. And they made it very, very clear that it was not a fully themed Christmas event.
Right.
They made it abundantly clear that this is just a, you know, fun little thing we're doing. They did charge $30 a ticket. They charged full price. But they also promoted it completely transparently for what it was.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. The some bitch still sold out.
Yeah. If we were in the area, we would have gone.
We're gone, yeah, hell yeah. They were telling people to buy the timed tickets because they might not have enough space for the untimed ones.
Yeah.
They sold, you know, they sold really, really well, despite warning people repeatedly that it was not a full Christmas event. This was not a full new haunt.
Right. Which is good.
Yeah, I mean,
That's good marketing. That's a good way to let people know that they're going to see mostly the same haunt.
Yes.
But with a few holiday additions.
Yeah. Which is exactly what it is and what it should be. And I really do think the verbiage they used was really good, really succinct, and really clear to both industry people and to lay people.
Right.
It got the point across to customers and other haunters alike as to what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I thought this was a great way, a very transparent way to promote a Christmas event. It obviously sold well. I mean, yeah, I know, it's Netherworld. They could sell anything.
Right.
But still, it's amazing. And they did very well with it. And I don't know, it really made me feel good to see this type of marketing. Because as I'm going through all these articles, I'm seeing the, come see the greatest Christmas horror spectacle ever. And da 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 da. Me, Krampus. And like, I know you just put some Christmas lights on your props.
Yeah.
It's like, I know this. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying I wouldn't pay to go see it. It's just a little more transparency, I think, can be a... Here you go.
Mm. Yep, exactly.
That's why it's here. All right. Oh, we have a Fear Fair coming up next in our discussion. Yeah. Hi, Brett Hayes.
Hi.
Hi. Hope that you're doing well. Local haunted attraction conducting Toy Drive. Now, this is not related to their December opening for their haunt. They did that previously.
Yes.
But this Saturday is in the 20th. They held a toy drive from 1 to 3 p.m. The haunt reopened, and basically if you bring a toy or a donation of any amount or any size, they did not specify anything,
mm-hmm.
you could get a free glossy photo with Krampus, like a free physical photo
right.
with Krampus. And all the donations went to Christmas Miracle, a local charity that ensured all the toys and all the donations stayed within the county. Great local charity keeping all that work and all that stuff, you know, nearby.
Right. And that's something that's big with people, is that they want to know where their donations are going to. And so this is a really good way to show that it stays within your community.
And that's one of the things haunted attractions do really, really well,
mm-hmm.
is local charity work.
Yeah.
This is what in my experience, when haunts team up with, like, national charities,
right.
they tend to get lost in the shuffle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, unless they're haunt-specific charities.
Yeah, well, that's true. That is true. But as far as, like, you know, like, the very first haunt we worked in, was a Boy Scout haunt.
Yes.
And it supported the local Boy Scout, you know, Columbia area group.
Right.
It was very, very local, what we were doing. and very, very dangerous and should never have been a haunted house. And dear God, I'm surprised we were not sued and or killed.
Yeah.
I never want to talk about that again. But we probably will have to do an episode about it if we haven't yet. But yeah, it was really, really local. And that's, I think, why like Chinchubas here in New Orleans mm-hmm. was for a local school for the deaf. Haunts tend to do better when they work with local charities or partner with local charities like this. This is another good example of it. And I love the fact that really the only business element of it for them, it seems, is that they're having their gift shop open.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, buy some last minute gifts, as they put it. Which, A, you knew me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
You know, that's so sweet. I would love Fear Fair merch. we love coffee mugs.
No, but you're trying to bring more glassware into the house.
Oh, God, you're right. That's a terrible idea. No coffee mugs. You're right. I will get killed if I bring any more washable items into this house.
Yes, yes.
Bad idea.
Yes.
but the point remains... that's pretty much all they seem to be doing as far as the business side of it goes. This is genuinely just something they're doing for the good of the neighborhood, the good of the area.
Right.
I can't applaud that enough.
No.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. And from the article, it looks like it is a character in a Krampus costume, yeah. Not just a static
yeah.
Krampus.
Oh, yeah, it's an actual Krampus. And it's a damn good looking Krampus, too, from that photo.
It is. But I have to clarify that.
Yeah, sorry.
Because...
Well, we might have had that happen.
Yes.
We had our photo taken with static Krampus.
Yes.
Not nearly as engaging as live-action Krampus.
No.
But still, no, I love this story. It warms my heart, makes me happy.
Yes.
All right. Moving right along to Sherman, Illinois. Now, this is technically a Halloween story, not a haunted attraction story, but I got to get this one out.
Mm-hmm.
In Sherman, Illinois, police have released an update on the razor blades and Halloween candy story they have. Now, I didn't actually hear about the story when it happened. Did you?
No.
This didn't run across anything. I don't know how we missed it. But anyways, there was a razor blade scare as disposable razors were supposedly found in Halloween candy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the police say after investigating, and it took a couple months or a month and a half or so, they have identified two people of interest, an adult and a juvenile, not released any names. They say the adult was not directly involved, but the important part is that the candy was not handed out.
Right.
This was not some random asshole putting razor blades in Reese's peanut butter cups or some shit.
No.
This is another case of either a hoax or someone trying to hurt another member of the family or... We don't know what the story is, but we know it wasn't random trick-or-treating.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. Because that... This doesn't really happen.
No, it flatly doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And it's one of those weird things. It's like, it never actually happens.
No.
But everyone's so scared of it.
Yeah. I remember being terrified of it as a kid.
Oh, yeah. I also thought quicksand was going to be a much bigger problem than it turned out to be in my life.
Yes.
Also, catching on fire randomly
yes.
was a pretty big deal when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Hasn't come to fruition either.
Now, to be fair, I did see my dad get caught on fire and have to do the stop, drop, and roll. So,
to be fair, your dad's also an idiot. I'm teasing.
I know.
And also has a line of work where that's significantly more possible.
Oh no, this was lighting a fire with gasoline.
I go back to my previous statement. I rescind my defense.
Yeah.
And we return to the previous statement. But yeah, so these are things that just don't happen to adults and to people.
Right.
And we were all scared of them. And I hear stories like, oh, so-and-so found razor blades in their sweets or whatever. And you always hear like months later in a much smaller story that, no, it wasn't handed out. It was...
Right.
It was a hoax. It was. Remember when someone said they found screws and Pepsis and things like that?
Yeah.
And that whole thing?
Yeah, it's just. No, they. Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't understand the mindset here that much. But still, if you did hear about it, like I said, I did not. I don't know how I missed it, and I'm glad that at least for me, the update is getting more traction than the original story.
No kidding.
But if you did hear the original at some point from somewhere, it was not handed out. It was not trick-or-treat candy. Something else was going on. They are considering charges against the juvenile. They said the adult is not directly involved. They have not filed charges yet. And since it's a juvenile, there's no other information.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it.
It was not trick-or-treat candy. That's really the biggest point of it, though.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this one went viral, and I'm pretty sure everyone who's listened to this podcast has heard of it.
Right.
Neighbors are saying this woman's Christmas dragon decorations are inappropriate, so she quote-unquote fixes it. Now, we're pulling from Board Panda, but I guess this has been everywhere.
Yeah, we saw it first on Haunter's Hangout.
Yeah.
I thought that the person who it happened to had posted about it originally,
but
I could not find it.
It started out with a tweet.
Yeah.
But basically, author Deanna Rowland received an anonymous letter over her holiday dragon display saying it was only marginally acceptable at Halloween and is completely unacceptable at Christmas. And for the record, I know this is an audio podcast, not a visual media. Basically, had three inflatable dragons sitting around Christmas lights.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all it really was. I mean,
yeah.
We have a dozen fucking skeletons in our front yard.
Pretty much.
Damn, well, nearly. I think it's like eight.
It's a half dozen, yeah.
Yeah, we got eight skeletons. But seriously, we got skeletons in our front yard.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, so what she did is first, she went and put halos on them to make them angels.
Right.
Which I love finding a loophole there.
Yeah.
And then she got a donation from her sister, I think it was.
Right.
To add two new dragons to it and put Santa hats on them.
Yeah, they were the Christmas inflatable dragons, because you can find those.
Yes.
Just like the inflatable dinosaur, which is adorable.
Yes, it is.
One of our neighbors has it.
Yeah, it actually is quite adorable. I have to admit, I'm not a fan of inflatable decorations as a general
no.
rule. Like, I want to invest in a crossbow.
Yeah.
But, yeah, these I can tolerate. But still, she also declined, there were people trying to raise money for her to help her buy still more dragons.
Right.
I love the internet sometimes.
Yeah.
The internet's a scary, horrible place most of the time.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, it turns out to be really freaking cool.
Yeah, it's like, you need more dragons. Let me help.
Yeah. But she turned them down saying, please take your money and throw it to worthy causes, feed the homeless, you know, heal the sick, things like that. Do more appropriate Christmas stuff. I can afford my own dragons type thing. And so respect to her for that, you know.
Yeah.
I would have been tempted to take the donations and buy more dragons, personally.
Yeah, me too.
I might have given in to that temptation. I gotta be honest.
I would have taken donations of dragons sent to me.
Oh, that's a good one. You could say, hey,
yes.
Look, you got dragons, inflatable dragons that you don't need right now?
Yeah.
I need them.
Yeah.
Just kindly mark which one's yours, because I have a feeling it's going to be a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Tag it somehow, you know?
Yeah, get the dragon skeletons from Big Lots. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do a lot of dragons.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so yeah, I found that to be absolutely hilarious and so much like a haunter,
mm-hmm.
even if she is not one. I just found it so beautiful.
Yeah.
And finally, do you have too much money?
No.
Would you like to throw some of your hard-earned money down a well because it's Halloween-themed?
Not really.
Well, I've got just the product for you. Halloween Coin, the new cryptocurrency that has just now reached $0.0001 on the top exchanges. Yeah, this is a new relatively new cryptocurrency called Halloween Coin that has reached, like I said, $0.0001. That, for those playing along at home, that's 1% of 1 cent, meaning one penny could buy you 100 Halloween coin.
Yeah.
It currently has a market cap of, make sure I get this exactly right, 0. 0.00 dollars. And to date, $26 of it have been traded. That is enough to buy, I believe, 2 pizzas from Papa John's.
Yes.
Go team.
Once it gets to 30, it can buy the fire-breathing Christmas dragon from Big Lots.
Oh, you see, we've come full circle.
He's drinking hot cocoa.
Ah. Did he make the hot cocoa? It'd be cool if, like, the animation, like, him heating the cocoa
with his
fire. That would be so cool. But yes, okay, once they hit 30, they can buy that.
Yes.
And then give it to the dragon lady. You see, we're full circle now.
Exactly.
It's beautiful. Oh, man.
But right now they're at 26. $4 is going to take them a while.
That's going to be about 40,000. Fucking golly. Why did I pick this story? It's too fucking stupid even for me.
I don't know, but you did.
Oh, God.
Because you're interested in cryptocurrency stuff.
No, I am not. I'm actually quite the opposite of it, but I think I got.
You can be interested in it without investing in it because you think it's BS.
Okay, fair enough. I guess I am fascinated by it in the same way I'm fascinated at a car wreck I drive by.
Exactly.
Fair enough. I guess you got me on that one. But yeah, no. So it's basically got a market cap of zero. And if you want to waste your money on some cryptocurrency and be more haunt related, I guess here's your chance. You know.
Yeah.
Get in on the ground floor. Who knows? Halloween coin could really break out and might become worth even more of nothing.
Yes. I ask for nothing.
And I got it in abundance.
Yes.
Sorry, I fucked it up.
It's okay.
It's okay. You shall receive it in abundance. Yes, I know my Rocky lines. But yep. Yeah. This whole thing was, like, so kooky, and I have no idea who's behind Halloween Coin. Please don't invest in it. I have no idea what they're doing. And if you do invest in it, only do so as a joke. Isn't, like, Bitcoin, like, just in, like, a huge downward fall? And that was, like, the big one?
Yeah. I haven't seen the guys meet for a while at our coffee shop, but I think they were told not to.
Ethereum guys?
Yeah. I think they were told not to.
What? They were thrown out?
I'm not sure.
How do you get thrown out of a coffee shop?
They never bought anything, and they always moved the chairs and didn't put the room back in order.
Yeah, Bitcoin right now, according to CoinDesk, is at about $4,000. Which is, see, I'm trying to get the year. Oh, there's the year. Oh, that's the 1 hour, Jonathan. You got to learn the difference between an H and a Y at some point, aren't you? Year to date. That's good. Holy Christ. From a high of 16,000. That's not good, is it?
Mm-mm.
That's not good. Not good. So, yeah. Long and short of it is, I'm not a fan of cryptocurrency as a concept. One other thing, blockchain might have some potentially interesting uses, but medium of exchange, not so much. But anyways, if you want to get involved, maybe Halloween Coin would be your super duper budget way to become invested.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, 100 for a penny. Can't beat that.
Nope.
Oh, God. Anyways, that's all the news I've got. Anything else to add?
No.
It has been a very interesting week. Once again, hope you guys have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Well, we'll see you again for the new year.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll be seeing you on the 31st. We'll be seeing you on New Year's Eve.
Ah.
Yeah.
Getting all the eves this year.
We need to record before the drinking starts.
Yeah.
Just a word of advice there. But once again, this has been Haunt Weekly. We are at hauntweekly.com or Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly will whisk you away to the wonderful world of our YouTube channel, where you can see all of our previous, or listen to all of our previous episodes very, very conveniently. You can also find us at Google, iTunes, Stitcher, all the places finer podcasts are sold. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
This is Haunt Weekly, episode 160, doing the news for December. See you guys next time.